Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson. Especially consider this verse. Jesus said to the Jews, "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." That's our text. This gospel teaches why it is that Christ was rejected by the rulers of the Jews. It wasn't because he taught false things about God. It wasn't because he lived a sinful life. Jesus Christ was rejected, beaten, and crucified by the Jews because he told them the truth and because he lived a perfect life. They could not bear to hear the truth because they preferred to believe their lies. They could not bear to see his righteousness because they preferred to live in their sin. They received their reward, but those who believe the word of Christ will live forever. Jesus said to them, "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." This really is an amazing statement. Those who reject Christ and the knowledge of the truth do so not because of what he says, but because what he says is true. And this is the way it's always been, really. In pagan Rome 2,000 years ago, and in pagan Canada today, you can have any religion you want so long as you don't say that your religion is the truth and that your God is the only true God. Truth is an authoritative word. It doesn't bend or kowtow to feelings or opinions or to circumstances. Truth is the way things really are, regardless of what you think, what you feel, or regardless of what you even believe. There's a saying that people who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, which we do, have long said, and it's, "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it." But really, that's too long of an argument. The Bible says it, whether I believe it or not, that settles it. If Jesus' teachings were only partially true, or a part of some bigger truth, these Jews might think he was a great sage, contributing to the collective wisdom of human thought over the ages. Or at least, that's what modern liberal Christians would think. But Jesus didn't just teach some true things here and there. He taught that his teaching alone is the truth. He famously says elsewhere, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's the scandal. That's why he was so violently rejected then, and why he is so rejected now. Jesus was blameless in doctrine and in life. But the thing that's really hard for us to understand, according to our sinful nature and our flesh, is that he was blameless in doctrine, blameless leading a perfect life, and yet he suffered. We like to think that those who advocate for the truth and that those who lead perfect lives shouldn't have to suffer. Well, look at Jesus. We consider his wounds and stripes, his physical privation, and his abuse by those who eventually would murder him. But that wasn't all his suffering. He also suffered lies. He suffered slander. He suffered false accusations. For instance, the Jews accuse him of being a Samaritan, which sounds among them worse than any other crime. And they accuse him of having a demon. Moses taught the Jews that only on the evidence of two or three witnesses is a charge of sin to be established. So what's the basis of their charge against Jesus? What's their evidence that he has a demon? Nothing. The evidence is their own rage and hatred of the truth. Their own bitterness and cruelty are the grounds upon which they pass the sentence against him. They murder his reputation as casually and as eagerly as they will later murder his body. Here is Cain killing Abel all over again out of jealousy. The unrighteous killing the righteous to spite God. And this is an example to all of us of the martyrdom to which we are called. We are all promised a cross in this life. Now, the way the devil, the original murderer and father of lies, suppresses the truth in this world is by persecuting those who hold to the truth. He does so either by attacking the body or by attacking the reputation. But we are called to bear witness to the truth. And that's what the word martyr means. It doesn't just mean one who dies for a cause. That's the later meaning of martyr that came out of the original. What martyr means is witness. And the perfect witness is one whose story doesn't change when threatened, or when opposed, or when challenged. The devil tempts us to remain silent about the truth of Christ by sending his children to slander and persecute us, so they can continue to live a lie and do what's right in their own eyes. But we are called to be blameless like Jesus in doctrine and in life, so that when we are persecuted, it's because we hold to the truth, not because of our sin. St. Peter writes, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that, when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil." So to suffer for doing good, what does that look like? Well, first, we must have perfect doctrine, perfect teaching from God. Then and only then can we know that what we speak is from God. And if it is from God, that it is the devil who is rejecting it. Now, if someone rejects you or gets on your case or takes you to task for some false opinion of yours, that's of no advantage to you. Maybe you deserve to be scolded for making confident assertions about matters uncertain. And, to be very blunt, all matters are uncertain compared to the Word of God. I saw recently someone posting about how on a particular political party's platform, they refuse to put on the reality of climate change as part of their platform. And the person commented saying, you know, what's next, that we believe in a flat earth? Now, I bring this up because I can be pretty confident that climate change is happening. I can be extremely confident, but not certain that the Earth is not flat. And that is when we talk about certainty being compared to the Word of God. I'm fairly certain I'm standing here right now and not dreaming, but not as certain as I am that God is merciful and gracious, died for my sins, and was raised for my justification. The point is, we are to keep that doctrine pure. And when we speak authoritatively to others, speak only according to the Word of God, for everything else is doubtful. Don't judge others based on their clothing or food or holy days, as the Jews did. Do not judge people based on the world's criteria. Those who judge by the world will be judged with the world. Those who judge according to Christ will be judged with Christ, who has already made atonement for our sin and has been vindicated for in his resurrection. Second, we're to suffer for doing good by leading a perfect life and not being guilty of sin. Now, this is, of course, impossible for man, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus says to his disciples, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And he's not joking. There's no excuse for running your mouth. There's no excuse for the things that you've had to put up with for getting on others' cases. The command to be perfect has been replaced today, though, with the saying, "Do the best you can." But that's useless advice when it comes to being a good person. By our own strength, we can only do evil. And if we're only commanded to do the best that we can't really fail, can we? And no one can judge you or hold you accountable. And so you're never in need of repentance and forgiveness. You never need to say, "I'm guilty. I could have done better and I didn't." And that's exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you unaware of your need, your real need, for forgiveness, so that you won't seek it where it may be found. When it comes to being a good person, it's best to teach what God actually says. Be perfect. You're not called to mediocrity, you're called to perfection. And when you fail, you are called to repent and to desire to do better as many times as you fall. This call to perfection would be a terrible burden, a cruel law, except for the gospel. When you fail, there's always forgiveness, won by the blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Therefore, we strive to be perfect, blameless in doctrine and in life. That way we can suffer because of Christ and not because of sin. Peter says, "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.